is going to be one of those basic messages that you have heard, especially if you've been in the church your whole life, or at least there about your whole life. And the reason why I'm sharing it today, because today, next Sunday, and the following Sunday, Pastor Charles and I want to get all of us on the same page about who we are at Crossroads. What is our mission? What is our vision? And how are we going to accomplish what God has called us and asked us to do? So I'm starting off the series today by talking about connecting. And we're going to talk about connecting to God and connecting with one another. Basic. Say basic. Some of you guys are so basic you can't say the word. Can you say basic? I knew I should have called off sick this morning. Thanks for your little birthday rendition. I got to put a little funny antidote onto it. I think Pastor Charles didn't remember it was my birthday, but he said something that just made me chuckle. I'm sitting in my office. He's out in the lobby. He looks in and looks at me. He comes and goes, "Colored your hair." Thinking that I ain't coloring the hair, it just takes too much work. So I thought, was that planned because it's my birthday, or was he just trying to be funny this morning? When you hear the word mission, what does that mean to you? Not Mission Impossible, but what does having a mission mean? Oh, it means a purpose. What else does it mean? A goal? Okay, yeah. A focus? Who said focus? You're hired. That's good. Any other thoughts on mission?
A calling.
I want us to, who said what? A challenge, yeah. Action. I like action. So what about vision? What's a vision? Of sugar plums dancing? No, not that. What's vision? An idea, okay.
End goal,
sure. What else could be a vision?
A preferred future.
I like that, preferred future. So with these thoughts, I want us to think about vision and mission this way. A mission is what we are doing or what we want to be doing right now. What we are doing or what we want to be doing right now. I put that second or what we want to be doing because sometimes we don't live very missional.
He has more spiritual life. Did you see throughout scriptures that Jesus,
while he was here, he had a mission, he fulfilled his mission, he lived on mission, he was very missional in his life. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we have a mission. We are to live on mission. We are to be missional. We are to live out and live through our mission. A vision, I want us to think of this way. A vision is what we want to see happen in the future as we live our mission. So a mission is what we're doing now or what we want to be doing. Our vision is what we want to see accomplished as we live out our mission. Over this past year, the board and I and Pastor Charles have worked through to redefine our mission here at Crossroads. When I came here over a year ago, you had a mission statement painted on the outside lobby wall. Who knows what that mission statement read? One person? Who else? A couple of you. Who wants to share what it said?
To know God and make him known.
We really have been within this church
to really make it obtainable. We really want to understand how are we going to know God and make him known. Because it sort of leaves us at a place of saying, well, what are we doing right now to know God and make him known? So we've retooled this, we redefined it, and our mission for Crossroads stands today As disciples of Jesus Christ, we exist to connect, advance, and contribute. All right. What does it mean to connect, advance, and contribute? So as disciples of Jesus Christ, we exist here to connect with God and one another, to advance the kingdom of Christ, and to contribute by giving of ourselves. As a body of believers, as a community of faith, we believe that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we exist. We are here to connect to God and one another, to advance the kingdom of Christ, and to contribute by giving of ourselves. I'll just give you a little inside. CAC. Crossroads. Connect. Get that about. So, here we go now. So, we desire this. We feel this is why we exist. We believe that this is the mission that will drive us to see our vision fulfilled. And what's our vision? Every man, woman, and child as disciples of Jesus. Now, some people say your vision's got to be really, or you're not going to be motivated. That very first two words in our vision statement, first word, every man, every woman, every child as a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you ask me, that's pretty big as a vision statement. It's a pretty big vision to accomplish, to hold on to, because what we're saying through this is that there are no exceptions for those that are a part of our community, for those that God brings in that will become a part of our community, for those that we individually know and have relationship with. Our vision, if you are a part of Crossroads, we want every man, every woman, every child as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath, because that's a huge thing. But in order to do that, we have to be a church who lives on mission. We exist. As disciples, we exist to connect with God and one another, to advance the kingdom of Christ, and contribute by giving of ourselves. Our vision will begin to happen. We will begin to see every man, woman, and child as a disciple of Jesus when we ourselves as disciples live on mission. From the moment we first connect with God, we are to be a people that live on mission. The situation is, until you're connected with God, you don't understand a mission of discipleship. The church over the years has passion making disciples, but we fear that we exist for this purpose. As disciples, we exist. If we weren't disciples, we wouldn't have a church. Disciples are students, learners, followers, imitators of Jesus Christ. And we are here to make a difference in the lives of every man, woman, and child. For God desires none to perish, but all to have everlasting life. So now this is where it's going to seem very basic for you. I've learned over almost 31 years now, starting my 31st year. Oh, I already did that. I started ministry 26th, 1987. It's September today. I'm still living in August, so it's been a long time. But I've learned to not just assume, no matter how long I'm in a church, no matter how well I think I know the people that I'm shepherding and leading, that every one of us have already connected with God. Because this whole thing about connecting it with God is not knowing God intellectually. The whole point of connecting with God is to know God personally. We can have understandings I understand that electricity comes through the wall socket. I know that somehow there's wires that run to my home that come into this electric panel that have things on it, and it's on when I put something in that's going to turn on. I have no idea how it works, but I have a concept in my mind. And I have found in churches over the years that a lot of people have this God idea in their mind. The heart hasn't yet formed. The heart hasn't owned it. The heart doesn't understand it. And many times we find churches of people going through motions. You know, Scripture is very clear. There's only one way that anyone can ever connect with God, and Jesus gave us that answer in John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's only one way to connect with the Father God, and that is through God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. When we turn, when we repent, the act of turning to Jesus in faith, the faith of a mustard seed. How many of you guys still have your mustard seed? Someone told me this morning they ate their mustard seed. I didn't want to hear that. Low carb, though. Okay. When we act in faith, the act of turning from the direction that we are going in, and we understand that there is someone who loved the path, death as the only and worthy sacrifice of God, we are repenting. And that whole word repentance means we are now going to go in a new direction. And we turn from a life that has our back toward God to a life that now we face Him. We turn to Him and we understand the only hope I have, the only way I can, the only possible means at all to ever connect with the Father God who loved me to the point of sending His Son to die for me is by turning to Jesus in faith and believing upon Him. At that point, we are connected with God. When we've done this, we understand in our lives, we may not understand it fully at the beginning, but there's this great exchange that takes place when we repent. There's this amazing exchange that happens when we turn to Jesus. We exchange our sin for forgiveness. We exchange our unrighteousness to be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We exchange from being orphans, abandoned, and separated from a loving and adopted child of the Almighty God, welcome member in His family. We exchange the life of not knowing anything for the future, no hope for life everlasting, to being sealed by the Holy Spirit for life everlasting. So my simple question that is so basic. Do all of you, can all of you know that you have been connected with God based only upon faith in Jesus Christ? If not, today is the day to connect with God. His love is so amazing. His love will not disappoint. And it's like being finally welcomed home, and you can just be who He's created you to be, forgiven child of the living God. Picture with me that prodigal that we read about in Scripture. When he returned to his father was waiting for him. And he embraced him. He saw his son come home. And that's our Father God, who longs to have every child of His return home and receive His loving embrace. You know, when the arms of God wrap around you, oh, life is completely different. Never to be what it used to be. You know, John tells us in chapter 1 and verse 12, for as many as received Jesus, to them, anyone here, you receive Jesus, He gives to you the right, the privilege to become children of God, even to believe faith in His name. Paul said in Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has. He who does not have the Son of God does not have. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. See, it has nothing to do about our head, even though your mouth is with head. It has nothing to do about what you know, what you think you know, what church you go to, or anything like that. It's when you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But let's go on to verse 10 of Romans 10. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So here at Crossroads, we believe that the very first step for everyone, whether you've worshipped here your whole life, whether you've been here for a year, and those that are coming here in the future, the very first step for is to connect by faith with His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. That's first. Now, sometimes I do feel like I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know what that term means, right? Because I started in 1987 as a music minister, and I was always talking to the choir. And now 31 years later, I'm still talking to the choir. We understand that, but let me just put this question in our minds. As clear as I try to make this whole plan of salvation, do you realize that Scripture says, if you have the faith of a child. Miranda was playing here this morning, and she's holding my hands, and I was swinging her around. She is trusting me. But then our hands separated. And Cindy was reaching for the automatic defibrillator because I was ready to have a heart attack because I saw her going back and her head just about smashing on the floor. She missed it. Thank you, Lord. Marcus, you didn't know about that? Your daughter's fine. Mindy, you didn't know about that? Your daughter. She's not even looking up right now. She doesn't care. She's completely fine. But she had that faith that I was going to hold on to her. And the old man's hands got a little sweaty, and guess what? They slipped out. But then I come into the worship center here, and another is rose just to jump up into my arm. Mary Beth says, he wants to see you, Pastor. And I turn around to Patrick, just smiling and running up, just jumping. I just dropped a kid. And Patrick has no, I'm just going to jump up in Pastor's arms. It's that simple faith. In Jesus alone. But see, I think for us now that have placed our faith in Christ in some place and we've been connected with God, I believe this next step is often more difficult than the first step, connecting with one another. I have this overarching just, I don't even know the right word, within me that the enemy so much doesn't want to lose us from his kingdom, but greater is he, right? So we make that decision of faith. We turn to Jesus Christ, and we are no longer in the kingdom of the enemy, but we're in the kingdom of the Almighty Holy God. And then he's like, oh, I got to do something more to stop this now because I don't want them to enjoy any of this new life. So I firmly believe that one of the things he does so well in the Church of Jesus Christ is he keeps us from interacting with one another. You know the children of God's family? We're all brothers and sisters. Now, please don't flash to your physical brothers and sisters right now because you'll ruin my whole second part of the message. We don't often always connect well with our siblings, or do we connect well with our siblings? We sometimes feel closer to some and not as close to others. Sometimes we avoid some of them. Sometimes we run right into the arms of some of them. I don't get it. I'm as guilty as the next person. So I'm preaching to myself as well. There is but one family. So once we're connected with God, it's His desire that we connect with one another. The one and only family of God. Have you ever had these thoughts before? I have. If you've been in the church, quote unquote, forever, maybe it would be great to have a relationships with older, wiser disciples who can help me grow in my faith as a disciple of Jesus. Oh, it sure would be great to have relationships with older, wiser disciples who would listen to my doubts, who would understand my problems, who don't judge me for what I have or haven't done. Oh, it would be great to have relationships with older, wiser disciples who keep in confidence what I share and who hold me faithfully before the throne of grace in my times of need. Oh, it would be relationships with other older, wiser disciples who would model the life, the deeper life of Jesus Christ, so that I have an example to follow. As in Paul, who says, you can imitate me because I imitate Jesus Christ. Oh, it would be great to live in a community and be completely accepted for who I am. It would be great. That list could go on and on. Because we, the church, don't do well connecting with one another in a deep, meaningful, intimate, disciple-making, life-giving way. Don't get me wrong, we've all developed surface connections. And often when someone's longing for that deep connection with the body of Christ, they end up getting... Or they say, there's not a place for me, so I'm going to go look someplace else. You know, it doesn't matter at all if someone's first day here or their 4,000 times they've been here. I did the math, 52 weeks a year at 90 years old. You've been here over 4,000 times. It doesn't matter if it's your first time or your 4,000th time. There's but one body of Christ, and we are to connect with one another. God's family is one family that is to live in community, connected with one another. Listen here. Connected with one another, interrelated with one another, doing life together, making disciples together as members of something much bigger than Crossroads or any one of us. We are brothers and sisters in the family of God, period. And if you need worldwide to understand that, put worldwide there. Everyone who connects with God becomes a member of His family. Even if they've never stepped into a building that we call... All that have turned into with God are members of the largest, greatest, non-denominational, multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational family of one, the body of Christ. Paul said, for there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, the Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. We here at Crossroads are just one part of something enormously larger. And guess what the larger body of Christ looks like? It doesn't look like anything like us. But we are part of what it is. How deeply do we connect with one another? I know some of us in this room have very deep relationships. Praise the Lord. Those are needed. But I also know that there are people in here who are longing to be connected the same way that you may already be connected with a person or individual or group of people. We need this connection. And so the question is, how deep are you, or are you just as connection? One of the things I often pray in my office with the men that gather, the women who gather with us, is that, Holy Spirit, give me the discernment to know that when I ask how someone is and they lie to my face, that I can go deeper and ask what it is. I don't say it that way. I said it so you would understand. Because you know what I'm getting at? Pastor Charles, how are you today? Betty, how are you today? John, how are you today? Good. Lorna, how are you? Good. Same answer. Everyone's good. Everyone is good when you ask them. Because none of us would ever know what to say if someone says, I'm not good. You start like, oh, I'll pray for you. Can you are you feeling the same thing I am? You witness the same thing I do? What actually might happen if we have such a connection with one another that we can say, you know what? It's been a miserable week. This happened and this happened, and I didn't even want to get out of bed this morning to be here. Could you imagine what that would do to our family life here? We'd all realize that we're all in the same place. A messed up group of people who actually struggle every day of the week, who actually aren't good every time you ask them. Say it again, Carol, because I need a cue. Just imagine what that would do. Paul gives us, I don't need to read all these to you because I say these are those basic things that you know, or I hope you know, in Romans 12, in Ephesians 4, in 1 Corinthians 12. These key passages also articulate clearly about what it is to be a family, to be a body of Christ, to what it's like to be joined together, to be under the head of Jesus Christ, who is head of the church, and we're members of it. Scripture tells us and defines us and shows us. But we seem to resist it, don't live it, and do it on our own. I had a quote in my message. I wish I wouldn't have taken it out now, so I'm going to try to quote it. But something, John. He says, no man is an island. Every man is connected one way or another to the continent. Everyone is a part of the main. That's close to what he said. And what he's getting at is this. Often we try to live an isolated Christian life. We wonder why this life is so tough. And we get fed up, or we stop coming to church, or we whatever it might be. Listen, Jesus walked the earth and he lived in community. The disciples he called to follow him lived in community. They needed one another. When Jesus sent out the 50, and some render 52, he sent them out in pairs of, Not one at a time. He sent them out together. We need each other. In the upper room, I love it. Scripture says there are about 120. 120 is an even number. There's 60 sets of two people. And about 3,000 were at it. Well, now you have 150 people, 1,500 people connected with somebody else. Still groups of two. You're thinking, where is he going with this even stuff? Because I wanted you to understand, we need each other. We need to be connected with each other. We can't keep doing life together. You know, I expected a low attendance day, holiday weekend. What I haven't expected was all spiritual. They're your people. They're your family, too. Everyone in this church should have gotten a card from me sometime over the summer. Because I care about you. I think about you. I want you to know. Everyone got a card that hasn't been here this summer, too. I want them to know they're important. They're on my heart. I'm praying for them. We need each other. That's one little way I try to still stay connected with you, other than Sunday mornings or other times where we're together. I want you to know you're just not someone I want to see on Sunday to get an offering from. But that is helpful. I want to see you more than Sunday. I want life with you. Because you complete me and I complete you. So as we learn to be connected, as we learn to be a family of one, that's the second thing we want to see happen at Crossroads. First, everyone connecting with God. Than us connecting with one another in an intimate, meaningful, deep manner that brings life and breathes life into these bodies. We need one another. It hasn't been coincidental that every month we've been sharing with one another. Maybe it's taken 9 months for some of us to understand that this whole year, even if you look back to some of the messages we've done this year and what we will follow this, the folks connect with to do life together. What happens when we truly start doing this and we kick the enemy square in the head? And as Romans 16, 19, 20 says, we stomp him under our feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, under my feet. This is what will happen. We will be a family who are connected and we will help one another grow in faith as disciples. We will the doubts and the problems that each one of us has. We will not judge one another for what they haven't or have done. We will keep confidence when what is shared in confidence. We will be faithful to hold one another before the throne of grace. We will model the life of the deeper life of Jesus Christ. And we will do life together like they did in the early church. Just close with Acts chapter 2. Steve read this last week. But turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Now, just listen. Just listen. Holy Spirit just came. Church was just born. Peter just preached. 3,000 were added to their number. So two sets of 1,500 were coming in. There are pairs. They had life together. They had unity. And Luke says here, all the believers. The first word. Say the word all. No, say all of you say all. All. Someone still didn't say it. Everyone say all. All. Thanks, Lena. All the folks of the apostles' team. For us today, that's Sunday. That's our discipleship hour that starts at 11 next week. And to the fellowship, life together. And to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer, Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Vespers prayer service. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. And later on, in the end of that passage, and the Lord was adding to their number those that were connecting with God. See how they're interlinked? When we do life right, example for others to connect with God, they'll learn to connect with us. So at Crossroads Alliance Church, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we exist to connect with God and one another.